Hey, Dr. Andy here from Intentional Living. We're continuing a discussion from last week about sibling rivalry, adult sibling rivalry. Big deal. We had overflow of calls we're getting to today, and we'd love your stories on our storyline as well. This is a statistically a significant issue in our relationships. 46% of Americans say they had sibling rivalry with at least one sibling growing up, and over half of those still have issues with their adult siblings. That's a big number. You do the math on that in this country, it's a big deal. And what's interesting, I wrote a book, by the way, I'm Dr. Randy, I wrote a book called The Cain and Abel Syndrome, How to Get Along with Your Adult Siblings. And it was a book, it did okay, but, you know, it was interesting. I've written other books on parenting, wrote a book on childhood memories, became a national bestseller, written books on parenting, we've written books on other relationships that do very well, and the sibling one was not so much. And I thought about that for a while, and here's what I came to the conclusion. I came to the conclusion that the sibling relationship with our adult siblings, because it's not typically the daily issues, like we don't have our kids and we got our kids to deal with and our spouse and our finance, that we've sort of put onto the shelf sometimes the nature of the relationship with our siblings until it becomes an issue at the 4th of July that we just went through, or maybe it was at Christmas or Thanksgiving when all of a sudden you're getting together for a birthday party or whatever. And some of those dynamics, we become, as I say in that book, we become the little boy or little girl we once were all over again in the nature of the relationship. I'm the baby, the family, all of a sudden I'm the baby, the family all over again. Which, by the way, when you get old is not a bad deal. But when you're young and they're ready to run you out the door, you know, not so much. But seriously, we want to help you because this is a significant deal. You know what the Bible says? I mean, this is in the scripture. And we're not just talking about when the word brother I'm going to use here in scripture is not talking about, not just talking about, the brothers and sisters in Christ in the church that we can love because we leave them and they go back to their home. But those that are close in our family, the Bible tells us that if we hate our brothers, we cannot call ourselves a Christian. I didn't write that. Now, there's a difference between being frustrated and having issues and hatred where, man, there's a contempt, there's a hatred for those that God put in your path. Jesus had issues with his siblings. I read about that last week. They rejected him, basically, except for, as far as I can see, his brother James, who became a great leader in the first century church, his half-brother. But what happened to the rest, I don't know, other than the scripture's glimpses we get that there was a lot of rejection, jealousy going on. And yet Jesus responded with such love and openness. Man, what an example of intentional living. I know this can be tough. So we got some stories we want to hear from you. And I hope you'll listen. I hope today you'll find some encouragement that maybe today would be a breakthrough for somebody, maybe you. All right, Mary, you're first in California. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, Dr. Randy.
Thank you. What's your story on this?
Well, my story is my mother passed away about 20 years ago, and she left us an inheritance. Mm-hmm. And all through our childhood, my mom seemed like she favored me. And what my brother did was he deleted me from my mother's will and put his daughter on the will.
Wow.
And basically,
how did he do that?
Me from, I think he had a notary, or I don't know exactly the details. But the problem is, Dr. Randy, I was not emotionally well at the time. And so I think he got away with a lot of things because we're Oriental, and my mom put him as the head of the home, mm-hmm. of the family, and she trusted him. She trusted him. I was not able to go to the will with the lawyer and everything. Mm-hmm. So I had no clue what was going on. My mother put all the trust in my brother. And in the meantime, I got well, praise the Lord, through doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, a team of doctors, a program, and I got well and surprised the heck out of them and went to my own lawyer, and he said, well, Mary, what are you going to do? And I said, I want my family. And he said, you don't have one. And I said, yes, I do. I still have my brother. And I would like to see him, Dr. Randy, because I have breast cancer.
And you've been estranged for 25 years?
Yes, I have, and we live in the same little town. He lives right down the street from me.
And you haven't seen him in 25 years?
I see him, but whenever I try to approach him, he just takes off like a bullet.
If he were listening to the show today, what would you like to say to him?
I'd say, George, I love you, I forgive you, and you're forgiven, and Jesus Christ loves you.
What do you want?
I would like to see him.
25 years. Mary, that's our prayer for you too, and for your brother. The two of you could reconnect. Boy. Let's take a break, Jennifer. We'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
And so often when we do ministry, even in intentional living, we can focus on do this and do that. Do this one thing for the next 30 days and focus on this one thing and do this one thing. And you know what? They will make a difference in our life. If you're nice to your wife, you're going to have a happier marriage, guys. If you take care of your body intentionally, you're going to probably live longer and be healthier. See, so being intentional does give us practical results in our life. But what's the purpose? What's the point? Why do we do it?
You know, that's an excerpt that I think you'll find really from a lesson, this our featured lesson for our members this month. It'll be very practical. I want to be really clear, as I was in that excerpt. Intentional living is not a works ministry. We're not here saying, hey, get your works going and be a good sibling and do all the right things and God's going to love you more. He loves you and he's crazy about you, as my pastor says, and I believe that's true. But what happens is God's intention for us is so much stronger, more freedom, less regret than most of us are living in our lives. And so we want to help people experience God's very best loving intentions for you. That's why we do this. And those of you praying for us and supporting make it possible. I just want to say this about this whole topic, and then we're going to get back to the calls. Hang on, Josie, you're next. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's a powerful verse. Paul is saying, to the extent that it's possible, don't be the instigator of the conflict, all right? And it may be difficult. Don't pick up an offense, as the Bible says. I know that's hard, but that's intentional living. That's one of the top 10 on the list of adult sibling relationship issues. To the extent you can contribute, to the extent possible, live at peace with everyone, including those adult siblings. All right, let's go. Josie, you're next in Tennessee. How are you today?
I'm doing well. You?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your story?
I have a twin sister. We were especially close growing up in a dysfunctional family. It was like us against everybody. But as adults, there's been a wedge, and I'm not sure how much distance I should allow. I feel like whenever I reach out to her, she doesn't respond until she needs something from me. And I feel like I keep opening up myself to hurt. And I'm not sure how much to keep trying or how much to back off. And I'm just,
what was the point? Where's the fork in the road? You guys said you were pretty close when you were growing up. Was it marriage? Was it politics? Was it finance? Where was the divide?
There was a slight divide when she got married. I think the biggest divide was when her marriage ended. I feel like she expressed that nothing I did was the right response for her.
Mm.
So that started the wedge.
What did you do that she didn't like?
I guess I didn't understand her situation, what it was like to be in her shoes, well enough.
All right. So you grew up as you know, twins, you guys got a very unique relationship. Do you think she, I don't know, just a thought. Do you think she feels either jealous or judged or didn't measure up? I mean, you've got your life and whatever you're doing and she didn't measure up.
That could be. It always feels like I'm the one not measuring up. I'm the one falling short of what I should be doing. But I guess.
But that's
right.
That's a reaction.
To her feeling.
That's right. So she's coming back with, you're not measuring up to what I expect you to do, or be.
Yeah, but and that's a hard place to keep putting myself in a position to be told that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why. I hear you, Josie, and I'm sitting, you know, 1,000 miles away in my studio. And not living in your shoes with your sister. And I understand that. But I'll tell you what, there's a truth in this title that I read in a book many years ago that says, hurt people hurt people, hurt people hurt people. Say it, hurt people hurt people. And hurt people tend to hurt the people that they can get away with it, who are closest to them. Hurt people are more careful not to hurt their boss or hurt their neighbor or hurt other people. They'll hurt the people closest to them then get away with. In your case, you talk about close, your twins. And so this is a real test, I think, in part, Josie, in your own spiritual maturity to be able, and by the way, I'm not just saying you sit and take it over and over, but spiritual maturity to be able to say, hey, boy, she must really be hurting to say that. She must really be struggling to feel that way. And you can keep boundaries in place. That's okay. You know, hey, you know, I love you, honey, but, you know, no, that's not going to happen. But to be understanding enough to see that your sister must be hurting in some way to be able to feel like she can just lash out like that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Is that helpful a little bit?
Yeah, because I keep seeing her as the aggressor, but I should realize that she's lashing out from wounds, and that maybe I can be a little bit more understanding and still try to come alongside her.
Here's a reality. Josie, there's probably nothing you can do that'll ever be enough.
That's what I feel like, yeah. My husband, who's a new believer, keeps telling me, like, stop putting yourself in that situation. So I'm trying to judge biblically and what to do.
Yeah. Well, again, as I sit here, I would, and I know this is a process you got to go through in your own head because you're so caught with that symbiotic relationship with your twin sister. You guys grew up as twins. Hello. That's a very powerful dynamic. And so I'm trying to be objective as I look in from the outside saying, if you can change your mind, taking captive every thought to say, listen, I love my sister. She's just really hurting to be able to say something like that, but I'm not going to take that personally. I just can't. I can't own that. I can't absorb that. That can't be true. I'm not going to let that influence my life. And if I have to put a boundary in place when we talk, hey, listen, I'm happy to talk, hear what's going on in your life, but I'm not going to continue to take that, okay? Because I care about you enough. This is something you have to deal with in your life. I'm sorry if I've made mistakes and things, but don't get dragged down the rabbit hole. Okay? All right, Josie, I hope that helps. I'm glad you're listening to Intentional Living, that we can be a help to you today. That's why we're here. Lori in Michigan, how are you?
Good.
Good, appreciate your call. Good. I'm doing well today. What's your story?
Well, my story is pretty good. Really good, because first of all, I've learned a lot from your intentional living. So I do a lot of intentional living.
Good.
And I practice that, and it's made my life so much better.
Good.
Number two, I grew up with my sister, who's 4 years older than I am, and my brother, who's 2 years younger than I am. And in our household, being the middle child, I always felt like, oh, they get preferential treatment, this and that. Like, my sister could get a driver's license. I couldn't. My brother could do whatever he wanted to do and not get in trouble, but I would get in trouble. It was, like, just, like, nonsensical stuff. But my dad died when I was 7, and I'm 70 now. And my mom told us as we grew up, she would remind us, and I hope this helps some people. She would remind us, no matter what fights or disagreements we had, and as you get older, they get a little more serious and a little more serious. She would say to us, remember that when the day comes, I'm not here anymore. You only have each other at end of day.
That's it. You know, that's back to what I said, Laura, on the other show last week, is that there's sibling moments. And here's what I found. And maybe this will be helpful to some families. It's kind of like a triangle. I wrote about it in the book, The Cain and Abel Syndrome. There's kind of a triangle where you got the two siblings, one in one corner and one in another. And the parents are sort of the glue sometimes. Maybe it's mom, maybe it's dad, resolving issues, pulling people together, making sure everybody gets along and setting up the times of family gatherings or what have you. And then all of a sudden the parents are gone and that relationship either dissolves, disappears, or the problems start to surface fighting over the junk in the garage in the basement. And that's what's happening. Come on. I mean, if we open the phone lines to estate planning attorneys today, you all would probably echo what I'm saying. You'd be saying, that's right, I've seen it. And that's why we're big advocates. We're advocates of getting that estate clear. My wife and I have done that. You know, you just talk about stuff. You know, you lay it out, the fact you're not always going to be here. You're going to be in heaven. And what do you want to do with the stuff left behind? And try to be as reasonable as possible. And tell the kids, sit down and communicate. Take responsibility to be able to talk to your kids and grandkids or whoever's involved on what's in there and why. I think we do a great disservice when we just kind of walk away and leave things, not walk away, we're gone, and we leave a mess behind. Finish strong. That's one of the teachings of intentional living, is to finish strong. And so, Laura, your mom was teaching you, hey, you got to get along. When I'm gone, you know, you're going to be here. What's left? It's a good reminder. All right, let's take a quick break, Jennifer. We'll be right back, Freddie. Hang on. We'll get to you there in Arizona.
Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, of all the, thank you, Kurt, all the lessons I've taught, this one kind of caught me short as I was preparing, as I started to study the book of Ephesians and realize it's split right down the middle. The first three chapters, Paul, who's so systematic, very intentional, lays out this whole thing about being who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ, and what that means. We're saved by, in the great passage that reminds us that we are saved, you know, as a result of God's grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. And that passage alone, the impact it had on the Reformation and Martin Luther and everything that has followed, as a reminder, you know, it's by faith, it's not by works. Paul lays this whole thing out in the first three chapters. He doesn't come out and say, hey, be a good sibling and go to church and make sure you're tithing and do all these things, and then God's going to love you. God loves you, picked you, cares for you, saved by grace through faith and that of yourselves. There ain't nothing you can do to get saved other than to accept Christ. Right? And then he ends with that great benediction there in chapter 3. Starting chapter 4, he says, therefore, and then he gets right in our face about, therefore, hey, come on, tells us how to live, tells us how to think, reminds us about our relationship with our kids, relationship at work, with stuff, putting on the whole armor of God. This is a very instructive three chapters of, hey, guys and ladies, this is how we're to live our lives intentionally in Christ. So anyway, I go into detail in that pass in that lesson, which, by the way, for members, it's all up on our exclusive site, our special site just for our members. And as you join us today to become a monthly member, we'll give you access to that as well. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. All right? Appreciate it. All right, Freddie, you've been waiting longest. How you doing there in Arizona?
I am well, thank you.
What's your story?
I am the middle child. I have an older brother. He's born in October of 62, and I'm born October of 63.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're a year apart.
Right.
Went through high schools, all school, grade school together, 1 year apart, having some of the same teachers. And the teacher says, do you have a brother named Lonnie? I said, yes. He says, you know, he never acknowledged that he had a younger brother. I says, well, there's another brother, but he's 4 years younger, so he's like, maybe at this point, kindergarten, getting ready to get started in school. And throughout adulthood, same thing. No acknowledgement. Now, as an adult, he's moved away. Don't acknowledge his mom. Don't acknowledge me. Don't acknowledge his younger brother. Only when he needs something.
Yeah.
He won't call me at all because I will say, well, don't you know how to budget? Can we go over a budget with you? I go that route with him.
Yeah.
I just went through like a major kidney transplant and he never picked up the phone to say, how you doing? What's going on? Do you need anything? Nothing.
But he'll call when he needs some money or something.
He'll call my mother because he knows my mother will give in to him. He'll call my younger brother because my younger brother will give in to him. So, like most recently, last September, he needed $5,000. I said, don't give it to him because he is in the process of losing the apartment.
Yeah.
They gave it to him anyway. 2 months later, he lost the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's give him money to get a new apartment. Let him go ahead and lose that.
Yeah.
They didn't want to listen to me.
Yeah, so then you have a dynamic with your other sibling and your mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So this isn't just a relationship with your brother. It becomes the whole dysfunction. This is why they use the term dysfunctional families, right? I think we all have dysfunctional families, frankly. Come on, none of us are perfect. Sinful world, we got issues. I was telling the team here before the show, it's kind of like a continuum. I think some of us have just a little bit of enough dysfunction to say, yeah, we're kind of there. And then others have this really big deal that creates all sorts of drama and problems and so on. I would say, Freddie, you have insight. You're aware of it. Pray for your brother. We can't change another person. People make decisions that sometimes make no sense. Sometimes they're the dumbest thing you can think of. You pray for them and keep your door open and keep the relationships open as you can. Like I said, that passage in Romans where it says, to the extent possible, live at peace with everyone. But I'll tell you, this is a reminder today. And if you missed last week's show on this topic, I hope you'll go back to, I think it was the 2nd, July 2nd, to listen to the first part of this program on sibling rivalry. And there's a lot of help there for you. That's why we do this every day, okay? All right, let's go to Jamie in Texas. Jamie, what's your relationship like?
Well, mine is an enlightening story because we are now communicating a lot better than we used to. There were five of us siblings born and raised in Texas, all of us in our 60s. And we lost our sister during COVID, but she had cancer. Mm. And my oldest brother before that was more not mean or anything, but standoffish and just never communicated with the rest of us and had his own life. And then it seemed like after my sister passed, this light came on and he, you know, we all appreciate each other so much more. And like I say, we text every day between all of us. It's such a blessing, you know, now.
What do you think happened there? I mean, what was it?
Before?
Yeah, I mean, I can see your sister's passing, but I mean, did you guys talk through some things or what transpired to make that all sort of a reality of you being closer?
Again, I think it was just the light coming on of, you know, how many more years do we have left? Because she was only 63 and our parents were 64 when they passed. And I think, like I said, the light just came on of let's appreciate us while we have each other here.
Yeah. Why do you think that didn't happen before?
Well, with some of us, it did. You know, 4 out of the 5 of us, including my sister, we all communicated really well. But the oldest one, he had his own life and was just too busy and just didn't have time for the siblings, you know. But now we all do. Mm. And I'm so grateful.
Yeah, that's good. Great way to wrap it up today. How are you doing with your siblings? What one thing are you taking away today that could be transformational tomorrow in your relationship?
I find it amazing that God always walks in my life at certain times, and this is a perfect example of one of them. I turned on Intentional program here, and I'm listening about siblings, the Cain and Abel. I am the oldest of 4. My father died, it'll be 6 years in October, and none of us talk. I have 3 siblings that don't talk to me, and I know that some of the other siblings don't talk to 1 or 2 of the other siblings. I'm wondering if this happens with death. I hear it a lot that when a death occurs with one of the parents, that this is indeed more the norm than not. Which I find to be extremely sad, but I would hope that someday healing is made so that we can reconnect together as a family. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing. You know, we've had a lot of calls. I want to leave the phone line open in terms of our comment line where you can share your story. We'll be praying for you. We love you. Intentional Living is got one simple ministry. We've got one mission. 7 words. We want to help you experience life as God intended. We want to help you experience your finances as God intended. We want to help you experience your marriage as God intended. We want to help you experience your parenting as God intended. We want to help you experience a relationship with your sibs as God intended. That's why we're here. I'm Dr. Randy. We got to run. We'll be back again next time. Hope you'll join us for Intentional Living.